Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is Snooze Flip? Snooze Flip is one of the most universal mattresses on the planet. You can customize your sleep experience to fit your needs. One side is soft, one side is firm, and you can flip it to the side that fits your body best. The cover is also reversible, with one side up to 5 degrees cooler and cozy warm on the other side. This zippable cover makes the Snooze Flip a true 4-in-1 mattress. Don't stress through shopping hundreds of beds online. Snooze Flip has all the features in one, and Snooze will ship it straight to your door. The mattress expands faster than most. You can be sleeping on your new mattress on the same day as delivery. There's a YouTube video of us unpacking Allie and RK's mattress in the bar. Check it out. When you are a part of Snooze Sleep, you are a part of a community, just like the DNVR community. No exaggeration, a community of go-getters, hustlers, athletes, entrepreneurs, the people who need to energize their bodies so they can wake up feeling amazing the next day and conquer their biggest dreams and goals. Finally, Snooze Sleep is locally based. We know how much you love supporting our local partners. The thing is, Snooze is made by Colorado, designed for the world. You can all take advantage of a new Snooze Flip mattress that gets delivered straight to your door, and Snooze Sleep is hooking you up. Use the code DNVR and receive $250 off a mattress and $250 off with an adjustable base. That's $500 worth of savings on a queen mattress with an adjustable base. The dual split king savings are up to $1,000 with an adjustable base. $1,000. Guys, head to snoozesleep.com and grab your Snooze Flip mattress today. That's snoozesleep.com, and again, make sure you're using the code DNVR for the big time savings, and you can get it shipped straight to your door. Happy New Year, folks. We are back with another edition of the DNVR Draft Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, the best in the land. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Today, we are doing a mock draft. We are going to do the first 11 picks, obviously, the Broncos. Currently in position to pick 11th. If you missed our last episode, go back and check it out. We went through our top 11 prospects, kind of came to a consensus. It was a feel it out process. We had to debate. We had to argue. We had to insult each other a little bit as we did it. But in the end, I think we came together with a pretty good list of talented players that would make a lot of sense in this system. Gentlemen, I'm really looking forward to doing this. How's everybody doing though? It's the holiday season. Got to make sure everybody's doing okay before we get into business.
Yeah, knocking some pods out early. Might be able to watch some bowls today. Maybe get my Caleb Williams on. That sounds exciting. That sounds like a fun way to pass a Wednesday. And hyped to do this. I usually miss the mock draft episode, so I'm really excited to be able to do this one, fellas.
By the way, speaking of bowl games, if you do listen to the Bets podcast, which Dre does every single day with RK, I threw out some upset picks right before the start of bowl season. 5-0 on those upset picks so far. Zach Castro actually parlayed them and made a bunch of money, which was not a strategy that I recommended. I did not expect them all to hit, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And that's where we're at the moment. Let's get it going, though. Hank, you're controlling this, so do you want to do the first pick?
Sure. Well, first pick goes to the Jaguars. And nice. I mean, are we all on team? They're going Aiden Hutchinson over Kayvon Thibodeau?
I think so.
You're the Pac-12 guy. Make a case for Thibodeau.
I mean, he's a freak. And you look at him, you're just like, wow, that guy's a monster. And he'll probably test really well. Aiden Hutchinson, probably the better football player at this point.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, I think really those guys come down to it's just recency bias. Like, Hutch was pretty disappointing last year, and Thibodeau blew up the world as a true sophomore. You look at their production 2 years back, they're pretty comparable. And now the roles got reversed at the end of this year, you know. I think that's the case. I think for the Jags, the case is, well, you've got Josh Allen as your stand-up edge. Imagine putting Hutchinson opposite him and what a pairing that could be. It's kind of like your thunder and lightning on the edges, really, you know. And honestly, I think it's more Hutchinson, Evan Neal to protect Trevor Lawrence a bit more. And if I was the Jags, maybe I'd just move down and try to load up on some of these dynamic receivers in that top 15 range.
Especially when you don't have Urban Meyer picking a running back in the first round for you, I think you might be a little bit better off. I do think that Evan Neal is definitely in the conversation, though, too.
I like Evan Neal a lot here, too, but it just feels after the season that Hutchinson has had, it feels wrong not to give it to him. So I'm with Hank on this one. Are we going Hutchinson number one?
Yeah, of course.
No interest in replacing Trevor Lawrence yet? Now that now that he's a bust?
I don't know. He should. Why isn't he getting the Tua treatment that Tua got last year, man? Tua at least
Trevor
games.
Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, Tua's got those injuries too, you know. We can get into nimble-bodied quarterbacks as we keep talking through the mock, because I think that's going to be a theme. I also think, you know, you put a few more things in place that Trev is going to be just fine. Low-key's carried himself really well in one of the more disastrous seasons to be in for a rookie quarterback.
I think he's trying not to compound things, right? I think he's smart enough to recognize that offense isn't, it's not going anywhere. It seems like he's kind of just trying to take his lumps, tried to force a few things early, but really down the stretch, I don't know. I've been impressed with his composure, just like Dre said, and kind of a pretty bad situation altogether. And then you factor in the Urban Meyer circus. I'm just glad that they got him out of there, and it's not going to be a clown show he has to put up with for like 3 years before Jacksonville finally recognized their mistake. Get him out after 1 year. Anyways, number two pick, Detroit. Yeah.
Perfect. Now it gets a little interesting. I think maybe a quarterback could be in play here, as crazy as that is. Though I think the Lions low-key like Goff for the time being.
I feel like Lions fans hate Goff, but as a casual observer, he's kept the Lions in games, right? They're the best two-win team in football.
Look, man, I don't want to sound like a Goff apologist, but I do think he gets a lot of heat, especially on the Rams, of course, just because he was on a much better team than he is now. And you can kind of just, I don't want to say hide, but I mean, he's kind of out of the crosshairs from the national media at this point, but, he's still fairly accurate at times, man. He can throw a pretty ball.
It's definitely not as good as Matt Stafford. That's the one thing we can say for sure.
That's true.
Hey guys, so we're on a bit of a time crunch. Could we stop with the Goff, Trevor Lawrence talk and focus a little more on these picks? What are the needs the Lions have for those who have a simulator in front of us? I'm having some technical issues on
that. They say edge, receiver, corner. I mean, I feel like Kayvon Thibodeau's got to be the move.
It's kind of penciled in. It's right. Again, I think you'd focus on building around the trenches, and it's KT or Neal.
All right,
Thibodeau, yeah,
Texans. Number three.
What are their draft needs?
I mean, they say like Edge. I mean, it's the Texans. They could take literally anything and justify it. But they say Edge, corner, safety, quarterback.
Yeah. And a team that really, I mean, this is going to be one of many picks that they'll have the next several years as they figure out this Deshaun Watson thing. And I do think they're at a point where there's not a ton of urgency and they at least are okay with seeing what Davis Mills has and letting that play out for another year. Because they're far
also a potential trade down candidate just because they do have so many needs, you know, drop from 3 to 8 and pick up another first round pick and just get two more talented players to add to the mix. I don't know. I guess I'll make the case for Kyle Hamilton unless we're saying they're just going to draft a franchise tackle and kind of put it in place before they get the quarterback. But Davis Mills has flashed a little bit, but I'm going with Kyle Hamilton.
I would say Evan Neal.
I'll go Evan Neal too.
Dre?
Yeah, I mean, they do have Laremy Tunsil is the thing, but how much are they still invested in Tunsil with all that? I mean, they're a hard nut to crack, but I guess I will stick with Neal. That's not a terrible way to kind of rebuild this offense with those two bookend tackles.
You could certainly do worse.
Yeah, 100%. And for who do we have?
Jets. And what are their current draft needs according to the simulator?
They say edge, tackle, corner, receiver. Those are the big ones.
Could be in Stingley territory, depending on how he ends up coming out of this draft eval process.
Yeah.
Could be in territory too. I mean, but it feels a little early, like we said. I feel like you can wait and get one of these guys later.
How about Karlaftis at this pick? Does that really fit? Is that reaching too much for him at this point? I mean, I know it'd be kind of a run on edges, but they're an important position. Jets have they have Shaq Thompson, John Franklin Myers as their starting edges.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that this is where we're really starting to see some divergence from our Broncos top 11 yesterday, or whenever you guys listened to it, to the actual mock, where now positions like corner, edge, receiver are going to be pushed up even a little more. I don't mind the Karlaftis. I don't mind the wideout pick, but I do think there is a bit more urgency to hit edge and even corner at this spot because the wide receiver depth is just like continuous.
You go Stingley or Karlaftis?
You think of that solid defense, I think Karlaftis is the one you'd value a lot more. And you can kind of find that lanky zone press corner later on, you know? So yeah, I go Karlaftis.
I like it.
Let's go.
Do it.
Three edges and a tackle. It's that kind of class. I think we're staying true to the
vibe. Where the talent is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So let's close out this top five.
Five is the Giants. They need edge, receiver, quarterback, tackle, linebacker.
Yeah, and kind of retaining everyone. So it seems like Daniel Jones, they're running it back.
Drake London would be a lot of fun.
Drake London would be a ton of fun. As would Jameson Williams. The linebackers, we know they never draft linebackers high. That's hilarious because when they did, they built one of the greatest defenses of all time under Bill Parcells. I think Stingley would firmly be in. I think it's those kind of diva perimeter positions you're looking at. So it's London, Williams, Stingley for the G-men. Even though they probably should go O-line and you can make a real case.
I was going to say they probably should go interior O-line or pick up one of these other tackles. But Linderbaum, for instance, I mean, you could just go ahead and get yourself the best interior lineman in the draft and potentially, you know, an all-pro for the next decade.
And you'll see that mocked, you know. And I mean, they do have Tony. They do have Saquon Barkley. They do have Evan Ingram. Jeez, maybe Drake London is kind of that guy who all of a sudden you have that number one outside and he kind of gives everything more shape and everything falls into place. So I'll go Drake London on this one.
I like it too. I I just like the idea of him and Galladay together. Like, we have those two good on point. The outside, and then you've got Tony running around and Slayton running around. All the, I really think that that's a good fit. I don't know that it's the right pick, but I think that it's what they'll do.
Yeah, I'm with it, but I just want to throw it out there. I mean, we've seen these speed receiver guys always go way earlier than most other receivers and kind of top five-ish in this range. Do we see Jameson Williams here instead?
I mean, if he goes off in the playoffs and, you know, scores a couple of touchdowns and does, you know, a couple of 50-yard bombs and he's just on all the highlights, then probably so.
For any other team, I probably say yes, but they have Tony.
Right.
That's why I thought London too. I'd probably rather have Williams just with his ability to stretch the field and the concerns coming off the injury. But I mean, even at 80-90%, Drake London is probably still a really, really, really good NFL receiver.
Well, that's the other thing. Will he run a 40? That's blazing, or will he not? Because he's still recovering from the injury. And you know how that works out, man. Marquise Brown, even DT, it's kind of like, well, they can't run a 40, but trust me, this guy ran in the 4.3s. Then the urban legend begins. It's almost
it's probably better to not run it and just have the, you know, well, look how fast he was when he was healthy. Oh, he ran a 4.4 for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
London was a broken bone, though, right? Like, he wasn't anything crazy with, like, a ligament or anything.
I think that's right. I don't think it was an ACL or anything.
Yeah, I'd be fine with him here.
Oh, yeah, broken right ankle. That's right.
That's a tough one, though, especially at the receiver position. Right, but I still feel better about it than I would if it was a knee or something like that.
Right. And it's not, like, degenerate reoccurring issues to his back like Mike Williams had. You know, those are all hammy, terrifies you for wide receivers and especially corners. This one's a little more like, okay, let's hope that surgeon's good and the rehab is solid and you should be all right. Drake London, not to make a crass transition, plus 7,500 on DraftKings Sportsbook right now to be the first overall pick in the draft. You can find all those lines, Justin, on DraftKings Sportsbook, the king of sports.
But that's what I wanted to say is, I mean, the NFL season, it is winding down. The playoffs are going to be here before you know it. At DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, offers are getting even more amazing. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you're going to win $200 in free bets. Don't miss out on this action. $5 to turn into $200. That is insane. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get some NFL action with the same game parlay. This is where you combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So go ahead and download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code DNVR. Bet $5 on any NFL team. Win $200 in free bets if they're victorious. That promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of the NFL, must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions to apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Also, I want to tell you guys about Green Mountain Dental Group. If you're looking to get your teeth cleaned and you're in the Denver metro area, or if like you're just in town for some reason and you want to go to the best dentist while you're here, take advantage of your time here, get out to Lakewood. And go to Green Mountain Dental Group. They do great work out there. It's 15 minutes away from downtown Denver. Huge Colorado sports fans, and they're big supporters of us too. We've had a bunch of our listeners go out there and tell us what a great time they had and how great their teeth were feeling and all those good things that people say when they like their dentist. So listen to them, get out there, and go get your free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with Green Mountain Dental Group. It's just makes a great deal even better. So make sure you get in on that and let us know when you go. Tweet at us, do all that sort of stuff because we appreciate seeing it.
You heard the man. It is the perfect time, too, to go get your teeth cleaned. Big part of staying healthy, keeping a clean mouth. Obviously, a lot of crap going around. Nobody better than our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. With the sixth pick, the New York Jets, who are picking courtesy of Seattle from that Jamal Adams trade. So it goes New York Jets, New York Giants, New York Jets. way too much New York, if you ask me.
New York, baby. And we're going to get another pick.
They want to be a part of it. The Jets, I mean, who did we take last time? We gave them Karlaftis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would imagine, I mean, you could double up defensively here and add Stingley, and all of a sudden, you know, your defense isn't looking in really good. You could also get some weapons for Zach Wilson, but I'm going to go ahead and throw Stingley out there because I think corner makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they just need more talent there.
I'm going to say Kyle Hamilton for that solid defense might be
more
valuable in that cover three. Now you've got your edge and Kyle Hamilton gets sprinkled in. Karlaftis, Hamilton, maybe two guys who, two picks in the top six, you came away with Karlaftis, Hamilton. Meh. I kind of love that to rebuild that Jets defense, though.
Especially together.
Yeah, they drafted that guy Hamsan Nasirildeen, the safety from Florida State last year. That big kind of, and they moved him to linebacker actually. So they're interested in that type of that player that is able to kind of fill multiple roles. I think that's a good fit.
Let's go, Kyle Hamilton. You flip me.
Love
right, Panthers at go. Seven.
It starts.
This is where it gets weird. Quarterback?
I was going to say.
No, I mean, it has to begin. And, you know, man, the more I think about it, Kenny Pickett's a guy who early on when I was doing this as a dude, I really, really would have liked. Because, look, quarterback's a weird position where it's, you know, the traits that can be coached up doesn't always work out that way. I don't need to tell Broncos fans. Like, there are things Teddy does where it's like, man, 10-year vet in this league should have that down. But sometimes there's just not that, you know, the dots don't connect. It just doesn't happen. Pickett's not like a gunslinger, but he's very competent in the pocket. And, you know, like he's gutsy. He's going to extend plays. He can play in cold weather. I really think this is as high as his stock's going to go and his stock's going to fall during the draft process, especially with the hand size and other stuff. And I think we're seeing like smaller QBs and some of the issues with durability. I mean, Baker, Russ, Kyler, those guys, once their lower half isn't 100% and they can't make up for that lack of size, we always talk about that, right? Traits are just extra margin of error. And those guys don't have extra margin of error, and Pickett's going to be the same way in my mind. That said, today, December 29th, if I were to like bet large sums of money, this is probably where I'd be leaning at seven for the Panthers.
I think that's the important distinction, right? It's not necessarily that, you know, 4 months from now, Kenny Pickett is going to be the first quarterback taken after we get the combine and the Senior Bowl and the entire evaluation process, but based on what we saw from this year, based on everybody's stock and taking it into account, he's probably QB1 at this moment in time. I think he does make sense with Carolina, a guy that can run around, improvise. You got Christian McCaffrey, who, you know, just kind of let him run around, dump it off to him on the edge and just see what happens, do some schoolyard bullshit type stuff in the NFL that we seem to, it's making more of an appearance. So Kenny Pickett makes sense. You don't have to sell me any further.
Yeah, it would just be interesting to see who they bring in as offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think that could potentially swing it. But yeah, I like Pickett here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's solid. I think
lock it in.
Yeah. If Kyle Hamilton was still there, I could make a case for that being kind of the last piece of that secondary. But
that's the other thing. It's a pretty solid program. Like they've got a lot of needs kind of patched up. So of all the teams, like them and Denver are some of the ones in the top 11 that can like kind of take that swing.
Yep.
Could they use a receiver?
They could.
But I mean, they've loaded up. They've got a lot of guys too.
They brought Bobby
Anderson, DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right. I guess it solid, depends how much you believe in Terrace Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I mean, how many like guys are going to be underpaid in free agency? How many guys will be available in day two and three, you know?
The Tim Patricks of the world.
Right. And McCaffrey's going to make that transition to wide receiver slowly but surely anyways. Mm-hmm.
You have to, because you can't just, he can't keep taking those hits between the tackles exactly. and losing him for 12 to 13 games a year. It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, I think that's always kind of been the plan anyways. So. Giants again. New York, Carolina. We gave him Drake London, right?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, they have invested in Andrew Thomas and Nate Solder. Will Hernandez has been disappointing. Ekim?
Yeah, the guy everybody wanted in Denver, it turns out, has not really panned out.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, we get too caught up in neck braces sometimes. Ekim Ekwonu maybe could be shifted at guard and kind of an emergency plan to replace Solder or, I don't know, give Andrew Thomas some competition.
You could throw Linderbaum into the conversation and just say he's one of the most competent players available, a guy that you know you can just, from day one, is going to be able to start for you. I'm not sure how dire their need is at center, or if, you know, could Linderbaum transition to guard?
Sure, you'd probably want to stick him at center. They've invested in Billy Price, but, you know, nothing. I think the other consideration here would be David Ojogbo. Mm-hmm. You know, that the interior of that line is fierce, but if you add a little more edge pop, and then Stingley, yep. who's kind of going to be a low-key consideration for every pick, just like the other top corners, you know, in this range. So
I think I'd go back. Stingley.
Stingley, Trey?
Would you say, Justin?
I'm taking everybody's picks.
I would go Ojogbo. That feels like the most Giants pick at this point.
Jake?
I'm kind of torn. I mean, is Gettleman coming back? Did they say that he's coming back? Oh, my God. Yeah. He's taking an edge then, or he's taking a lineman. So I'll take Ojogbo.
All right, Ojogbo it is.
Another guy who could really blow up in these playoffs, right? And now right. it's
give him a 3-sack game against Georgia, and all of a sudden right. people are yep. like, are we yep. sure Hutchinson's even the best defensive player on his team?
100%. So now where it's like, top 8, maybe. In 2 weeks, it could be like, top 5, lock him in. Okay, cool.
Washington football team, another group who looks competent other weeks, but still seemingly needs a lot of talent, at least on the offensive side. I like some of those defensive pieces, but
Stingley vibes would be heavy.
Yeah. And he's not going to fall out of the top 10, at least unless another corner just complete, like one of these corners is going to go top 10.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They've got to be tempted by a quarterback. Like, I think in any other draft, they probably take one, but with Taylor Heinicke, like, he's 28, too. Like, it's not like this is some young guy. You're like, oh, yeah. It's like, he's going to need to be replaced here at some point, and yeah. he's been solid, though. I mean, you take him over Teddy, probably. I just don't think that this spot, there's a real upgrade.
You could go Matt Corral. I think that's where, you know, it's Corral and Pickett at this point in the mm-hmm. draft process have kind of separated themselves.
Well, Heinicke gives you that flexibility, right? You don't necessarily yes. have to throw Matt Corral out there week one.
Right. There are a few teams in here like Houston, like the Giants, like the Jets, who are like, we don't love what we've got, but we can run it back another year with this guy. And then there are teams like Carolina who are like, dude, we tried Cam Newton this year. We're desperate. We'll take anything.
We got a dude from the XFL, 40-year-old Cam Newton, right. Sam Darnold. Like, we'll give us anybody.
And a broken Sam Darnold. I just don't know if Stingley is a Ron Rivera defense fit. But they certainly need to add talent on the back end.
Mm-hmm. And I would look at Devin Lloyd, too.
That. Bless you, Henry. Bless you. Yes, the man who turned Luke Kuechly into an absolute stud and has really made the best of some great linebackers. Now, they did draft Jordan Davis, right?
Jamin Davis.
Jamin. Thank you. But, thank you.
I mean, I almost like it better because of that.
Yes, and I will remind you Devin Lloyd can play Sam as well. He can be like, I don't think he's as far off as a pass rusher outside as some of these top four that were drafted ahead of him.
We've been pro Devin Lloyd for like 2.5 years. He has to go in a top 10 in our mock.
Number 9, lock him in. That's a pick I love for Ron Rivera. Jake, you on board?
Him with Chase Young, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat. And then you add in Jamin Davis. That is a hell of a front seven, man.
Washington could actually be fun. Could you imagine? Yeah. It'd be crazy.
It would really bum me out if Devin Lloyd went a pick or two before Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
He's already perfect. He knows the altitude wouldn't even bug him. He's used to it.
So true.
Atlanta with the 10th pick.
Wow. I mean, quarterback, obviously. Matt Corral could be a fit. But I mean, receiver as well. I mean, the offensive line, you could probably justify an upgrade too.
It's been a while since they added another Bama receiver. It could be Jameson Williams territory.
Yeah, they're due here.
Yeah, it's been what, like 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, God. And yet the priority has to be defense, all jokes aside.
Right? Yep.
And I mean, where to start? What's the best building block for this D? Could be Stingley. Could be N'Kobe Dean. It could be Leal or someone in the trenches.
It's tough because I feel like where they're strongest defensively is probably with the corners. I mean, it's tough because they really aren't strong anywhere, but that makes adding Derek Stingley a little bit tougher than adding. I mean, you've got Grady Jarrett right there. What if you throw DeMarvin Leal next to him? Like, you just, I don't know. But still, Stingley's on the board. He's so talented. How do you pass that up?
N'Kobe Dean or Jordan Davis, maybe?
Yeah.
Right. Also considerations. I think I'd go Leal. There's, we've talked about how defensive linemen, there's been kind of a lack of. And Leal is another guy we kind of mentioned it yesterday. He could really rise in the process with the kind of upside he has in athleticism. So in the NFC South for these Falcons, I'm gonna go Leal.
Jake, behind that.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do the same. It's not sexy, obviously, but I think that's exactly what this team needs. They just need to kind of get back down to the basics and rebuild the trenches because it's been pretty rough over the last few years. You get some versatility with Leal, so yeah.
All right, lock it in. DeMarvin Leal with the 10th overall pick. We are going to get to the Broncos, but got to shout out our friends over at Manscaped. Ho, 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 fellas, not your nice. It's the season to perform. Manscaped's best-selling product, the Performance Package 4.0. That's at the top of everyone's wish list. If you didn't get it for the holidays, you can buy it yourself. Inside there, you're going to find the lawnmower body trimmer, which is the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. The weed whacker, which is for your ears and nose. And I have come to love their body wash. The shampoo conditioner combo is great. It's got this earthy smell. Makes me feel like I'm in the mountains. Makes me feel like I'm right at home. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code DNVR. Not only are you going to get 20% off your order, you're also going to get free shipping. We love Manscaped. You love Manscaped. Hit up our friends. All right, the moments we have all been waiting for. Drum roll, please. That was a terrible drum sound. Denver Broncos with the 11th pick. Oh, their needs are all over the place, but also they have some flexibility, which is also kind of a nice position to be in. People are going to be upset if we don't get a quarterback. People might be upset if we do get a quarterback because the choices just aren't that great. I don't know. Where do we even start, Dre?
I mean, so let's start with the best players available we're looking at right now. I would say it starts with Stingley, who we've contemplated at every pick for two segments now. Probably second in my mind is Jameson Williams. Who
I would do Williams 1, Stingley 2.
Yeah, just a raw board. Yesterday, I think Charles Cross or Jordan Davis might have been our highest ranked guys from the Broncos board we built, and N'Kobe Dean I think with Ike Mikwonu also would be in that best player available mix, right?
Yeah. And then yeah, maybe somebody like Garrett Wilson, since they don't have that like tiny speedy guy.
Yeah.
Maybe not, I don't know.
If Tyler Lindenbaum. If you were to take a quarterback here, who would it be?
All depends on the OC.
That's a cop-out answer, though, Dre. I mean, you're right. But in a vacuum.
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a vacuum, I would take
Malik Willis. That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I really like Carson Strong.
It's too high, though.
You might be either of them. Yeah, you might be overdrafting him by like 20 spots, though.
Yep.
In this class.
Which is why Denver is a prime trade down candidate, too.
Prime trade down, and Henry's going to kind of survey the interwebs for us on that front. But that's why it depends. Like, if, I don't know, Greg Roman was your new head coach, yeah, you might want to go hard after Malik Willis, and it'd be okay to overdraft him and just take him at 11. If you, I don't know, you brought in some more modern college play caller, maybe you could sell me a little more on Matt Corral really being the guy to execute that RPO spread offense you're trying to bring in, you know. Outside of that, I don't feel a ton of urgency. And if I missed out on those guys, I might just be okay with rolling the dice on a Carson Strong or even a Desmond Ridder or Sam Howell, you know, a little later.
I mean, you might be able to get Howell in like the fourth round when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see. I think it's interesting that he has declared. I think
somebody's clearly telling him you're going to go, you know, top 90 or something.
I think he will when it's all said and done. Yeah. I think he's one of those guys that he's just like built for the like shorts and t-shirt season. You know, when he's on the field just by himself running around throwing the ball, I think it's going to be attractive to a lot of decision makers. I mean, he lost a lot of talent this year too, man. You can't let that go.
Yeah. And I mean, if Kenny Pickett's kind of this year's Mac Jones, you know, homeboy is kind of this year's Davis Mills. Like, you can sell yourself on that former top recruit who did have that one good year. And like, on, you know, he's a one read quarterback. You always fall in love with one read quarterbacks because when they execute that one read, it looks great. Awesome. Yeah. Kenny Pickett's the opposite of that. He's like, he has all the stuff that maybe matters unless you coach him up, and then everyone else is just going to surpass him.
So it sounds like, on principle, with what we've seen out of these quarterbacks thus far, we believe 11 is too high for any of these guys. A quarterback may end up going at 11 just depending on, you know, who ends up running the offense, but we're not going to go quarterback today then?
I mean, from a pure talent standpoint, these guys that are available right now and picking at 11 it's not a great pick, I don't think.
Agreed.
I maybe would have pulled the trigger had Pickett still been around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'd rather maximize other like real positions of value, you know, whether that's the defensive line, corner, your offensive tackle, which I think is probably the biggest priority here as far as like figuring out the play caller and quarterback situation, because it's so reliant on that pass protection and stuff. And I mean, God, N'Kobe Dean would be nice in this defense.
Can't go wrong with him. I'm going to say Charles Cross because of the point you just made. You have to solidify this offensive line before you can do anything. And I'm just so tired of the revolving door that's been right tackle for 6 years now. Like, get another one, move Bowles over to the right side, let him be a run blocker, and solidify that left side with Cross.
Yeah. Yeah. I, too, think that it's just enough is enough. You got to patch that up. You just can't have drives be killed by poor play in pass pro. And I think you feel good about your interior. You've paid Bowles and whatever, it is what it is. I think he's good enough at a position that's really hard to play. And now you got to figure out that right tackle. So I love that. I'm all in.
Yeah, if it's not quarterback, I think the biggest need absolutely is tackle. If Peyton can resist taking one of these corners here, that remains to be seen.
Yes.
But I think I'm still leaning Charles Cross. I think that's what I would do. If I only think Pickett would really be the only quarterback we're taking at 11, and you got to just fix the tackle situation. I would love to pick Jordan Davis, but I just don't think I could do it in like good conscience.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd take Stingley here. I think the talent there at cornerback is too much to pass up. Especially when you just like look at the future of that position. You've got some old guys there, but you're spending a lot of money on having them. And if you had two good corners locked down on those contracts for a few years, it'd be really nice. And I mean, they've needed all those guys too. Like, it's not like, I mean, if they didn't have whoever, Kyle Fuller, then sure, he hasn't played well, but then you're going to see, I don't even know, Nate Hairston out there quite a bit this season instead. Oh. Like, you've got to have some depth there. And I think that you can either build depth by just getting some mediocre guys to be your fourth corner, or you can just add another to the top. And I think with Stingley sitting there, that'd be my move.
It's definitely an immediate need, even though they added so much this past offseason. So was Stingley your top-rated corner, Hank?
Andrew Booth was. But now, under the pressure of this situation, you see Stingley sitting there. It's like, boy, would I feel dumb if I took Andrew Booth with Derek Stingley sitting there at this point, and Stingley goes on to be what he could be.
What is the, I don't know off the top of my head, what does the tackle situation look like for free agency, though? Like, is there anyone worth considering?
That's always
probably not. I mean, it's tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, if this pick was owned by the Packers in a Rodgers trade or even the Seahawks, not sure I'm killing myself over not having it. And then
especially
you assume
you have the day two picks.
Right. And then you assume next year's first is just going to be a really low first rounder anyways. I think that's a blow you can kind of survive. Now, if they were a little closer to in that top 10, maybe it gets trickier. Is there, so you mentioned Devin Lloyd. I would agree with you, Justin. That's the guy I'm kicking myself most that we weren't able to have drop to us. Is there anyone else here that you're, I don't know, that you're really would be perfect for the Broncos, or you'd even try to finagle a trade to move up in this hypothetical world?
Maybe Ajabo, if he was there at like 9.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think he immediately comes in and fills a need for you. He's more versatile than Hutchinson. We've already talked about that. He can play standing up or, you know, on the ground. And I love his game, man. He's got a relentless motor.
Yeah.
Kyle it's Hamilton, kind of, though, you guys can keep going.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Kyle Hamilton slipped to 6 in this one. If he had fallen to like 8 or 9, then I could totally justify trading up for him.
I think it's very similar to last year. I mean, especially even with the pick numbers. I mean, the Panthers are picking at 7. I think you really got to watch and see what they do in this. So given what we just did, if they didn't pick it instead, I think that's one of the guys definitely, you know, you're only going up 3 spots at most to 8 to go get that quarterback. You have the extra day 2 picks. If he gets past Carolina, I think that's definitely a guy to monitor going up and getting.
Do you think that would be enough to move from 11 to 8 day 2 picks? Because I still wonder if you'd have to throw in your first next year, which may not be the end of the world either, especially if you end up getting, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. But I don't think it'd take a first.
Yeah, in this draft especially, unless you're talking quarterbacks, it probably isn't, right? Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember anyone really trading up in the first round last year. I don't know.
Well, if San Fran. Remember.
Right, but I mean, like in draft, like
draft night, like
on the draft night, and I don't think it was anything. Or did Dallas move up for? Oh no, I can't remember, man. But I mean, three picks is not too crazy to really move up. I don't think
the Bears made that move for Fields, and I think that cost them a future.
That's right,
first. I don't know. What trade down scenarios would you be looking at, Henry? Anything that appeals to you?
Well, I mean, no. We talked about this before. This simulator sends you awful deals. So, for example, like if the Broncos wanted to go from the 11th pick to the 24th, they could pick up number 56 as well.
Okay.
If they wanted to go to 25th, they get 58. They can go down to 14, drop three spots, pick up a fourth and a sixth.
That's a little more appealing.
That's what you're looking at. Yeah, because again, you know, if you don't get Cross, you're okay with Ekwonu, who is kind of a different vibe at right tackle anyways. Mm-hmm. And like him blocking for Javonte Williams might just be an identity offensively that I could really buy into. Nakobe Dean could still drop. You'd still have some of those top corners drop to you. If you drop to the mid-20s or even early 20s, though, you're looking at yet another tier of talent here. And I don't know. That drop-off might be a little tough to stomach.
Especially if you're only picking up a late second. Like, I feel like if you're dropping down to, like, 24 or 25, then you should also be getting picked, like, 27 or 28.
I think the Eagles could be a team to watch here. Do they really have three first-round picks?
Yeah.
And they're all within five picks at this point.
It's like Philly, the Giants, and the Jets are going to make up like 25% of the first round.
If you get Philly has three first round picks, I think, I mean, especially that close together, they'd have to move up, I'd imagine, right? You don't just sit there with three picks right next to each other.
I mean, it depends on how much they like their quarterback, right?
The thing is, who are teams urgently moving up to trade up?
Jameson Williams is right there.
Jameson Williams would be intriguing.
That's true.
But the Eagles do have nothing but speed at wide receiver.
That is cool. Like they could use Drake London more than they could use Jameson Williams.
Right. Yeah. Well, then, I mean, what about Olave? They missed out on Justin Jefferson. Same kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
Before we close this out, do you guys have any candidates for someone who could move up into the top 11 with some really good playoffs? The two guys who stand out to me would be the Cincy dudes, but I'd say Mijay Sanders. If he has a big day against Bama, especially with the run on edge rushers, he's a dude who all of a sudden could be in that top 15 mix.
It sounded like Daxton Hill isn't traveling to the college football playoff. There was at least like a rumor or something, but he's one who I would throw in that category. He, the safety from Michigan, just like a freak athlete, former five-star. He goes and gets two picks in two games. Why not? Yeah. Right.
Well, then, I think this is a big game for Ahmad Gardner, right? I mean, going up against somebody like Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
He has the potential to kind of cement himself as a top two or three corner in this class with a nice performance here.
And Ritter.
A couple here. I mean, if Evan Neal, I think, has a great playoff, he could definitely catapult himself to number one talk.
Right.
And then I think we kind of buried the lead, honestly. What about Desmond Ritter? What if he kind of goes off, especially against Bama, of all teams?
Yep.
I mean, that stock just through the roof.
Yeah, for sure.
Could also tank. If, you know, he just can't deal with the pressure.
That's true. It could be very impressive or very ugly.
There are some Malik Willis games that were like that. I can't remember who he played. One of the times they played like a decent opponent, you turn it on, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is what this looks like. And you get that, like, there's a reason that the offensive line is getting beat up and he's being chased around. And so he's missing. But it could also be a back to reality game for sure.
Yeah, right. I think those guys are the big ones. And then Jordan Davis, whose stock's been a little all over the place lately, I think could restore some stuff here.
Will Anderson potentially putting himself in the conversation for like top five going into next year if he blows up.
Right. Doing what Thibodeau did at the end of last season. Yep. Beautiful. There you go. This did we settle on a pick?
No, we didn't.
It was three for Cross, one for Stingley is what we settled on.
Yeah, so I guess Cross.
If you had to guess who George Payton drafts today with how things unfolded in the top 10, would you stick with Cross? Would you go another direction?
I'm still going Stingley.
I think he feels very Payton-y.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if it's like a Mod Gardner instead, though.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe you drop down to like 14, add another pick, and then you just take a Mod Gardner at like 14 or 15.
I mean, obviously a ton in play here, but I mean, if they hire, I don't know, Joe Brady as offensive coordinator, you know, I think the need immediately becomes a lot more pressing for quarterback. Could potentially see them reach.
Yeah, for sure. Man, if it was George Payton, gun to my head, I think I would say it's Stingley. That 2019 tape, man. That we always get away right from the most recent tape. And then that starts to seep in. And yeah.
And that's what's, you know, some general manager, he's going to talk himself into it. Just be like, you want to know what? LSU was kind of a mess in 2020 and 2021. You know, we already talked about yesterday, the whole Eli Rick situation. You can talk yourself into saying, yeah, you know, it wasn't there, but that whole defense was a mess. You know, they weren't coached well. We get him in the right system. We coach him up. All of a sudden, he's a star.
Right, put on the tape of the national championship game a couple of years ago. He's out there covering Justin Ross, T. Higgins. T. Higgins just went off last weekend, so
right,
you know, you see that.
Yeah, hard to deny, ignore that.
Go Tigers! Stingley would be a lot of fun. It'd be like having Aqib Talib and Chris Harris again. I mean, they gotta play up to that level, but I mean that'd be the dream. And That's a really fun team to have when you just have two lockdown guys.
I think we've just explained why Stingley's probably more likely to go in the top 10 than to drop.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
Because in this class, he's much closer to top four, top three upside, right? Especially at that position.
Well, we said at the beginning, he's not going to drop out of the top 10. He did happen to just with the way that this played out, but he's going to be a top 10 pick unless he has a scandal or, you know what I mean? Some injury late in the process, something like that. But
yeah. Yeah. My Peyton's pick 1B is probably Sauce Gardner. Like, I do think that might just
I like be him a lot, dude, especially if you could get him later. I like him a lot.
It's going to be tons of fun to see him in the playoffs. So.
The Draft Hopefully. Network's Stingley comps to Stephon Gilmore. So, just throwing that out there.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Pretty decent player.
No, not bad at all. All right, fellas. I think that's going to do it. Love this double pod this week. And best of luck to everyone on their picks and scouting up some prospect this New Year's and New Year's Eve. And, you know, Happy New Year to everyone.
And stay safe out there, folks.
You fellas first and foremost. Yep. Yeah.